Welcome to a special edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and for the next 2 weeks, we focus on IGT, the largest slot manufacturer in the world. This week, we speak with TJ Matthews, the chairman and CEO of IGT, and next week, we'll have a similar discussion with Steve Morrow, the company president. IGT has been the leader in the slot market for almost 20 years now. The company's ability to produce games that people play has always been its strength. But now, according to Matthews, the I and the T have become just as important as the G in IGT because the international reach of the company has only been matched by the amazing new technology being developed. Matthews spoke with me for the cover story of the February Global Gaming Business at his Las Vegas offices in January. TJ Matthews, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to visit with you. It's been a while since we've talked to you, and so much has happened. I want to start to begin with about where this company is now compared to where it was when you joined it. Obviously, it's a larger company, and there's more products and things of that nature. But on an overall basis, what has changed since you've taken over?
Well, I think the transformation on growth is something to remark on in that we're about triple the size that we were 6 years ago, and that triple the size isn't just at the revenues, it's really in all of the endeavors of the company. And so things like our technology initiatives now being sponsored by so much more investment by the company than in times past. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at where we've come from, IGT has come from the world of games. That's where we've been the market leader traditionally, both in terms of developing some of the industry-leading games, the technology that supports delivery of that to the marketplace, and, of course, getting intellectual property protection for it. But what has happened in the last 5 years or so is IGT has also become international, and IGT has also become much more technological. So as I've talked about it internally, I've said that really the I and the T have become much bigger parts of IGT than in times past.
Okay.
Internationally, now 20% of our operating income is derived from markets outside of the United States and Canada, and in the technology world, we'll spend something north of $200 million this year to try to bring not only a complete product line along the lines of games and the different platforms, video poker, real slots, video slots, things of that nature, but also brand new technologies, things like SB that is so important to us. At this last gaming show, the introduction of MLD, which is the multi-layer display for LCDs, things like that rewritable card. All of those kind of activities are very important reminders, I think, to folks that we're going to lead the industry in terms of new technology as well.
No question. The remarkable thing is that you've grown so big in the last few years, but at the same time, you've given back some of the market share. You've had some of the companies that are your main competitors, the WMS, Bally, Aristocrats of the world, have really come up with some really interesting products. Are you doing something to regain that market share, or is that kind of a little bit unsustainable at the level you are at?
Well, we still think that our market share in terms of the install base is around 60% here in North America, and that's probably the sustainable figure. Some difficulty, of course, in doing that in that Bally, WMS, Aristocrat, and others, in fact, are doing a better job with their product development, and we are operating right now in a relatively stable technology environment where we really think that we gain advantage and have the opportunity to grow share is when there's some sort of disruptive technology that's introduced. And so in the world of ticketing, that was the case when IGT was first, both on the system side and on the machine side, to be able to bring that technology to the market. And you saw an uptick in our share, upwards of 70%, probably some recalibration of floors, just given that there was that outsized share for a period of time. I think that server-based gaming and other technologies that we're working on potentially will work to our advantage in the same way, in that we will be more prepared for being compatible to those new technologies than others of our competitors could be.
And that technology, obviously, was always a core benefit of IGT systems and machines. You always had the top-line technology, and that, of course, was what really fueled the last replacement cycle. When do you think the next replacement cycle is going to kick in, and do you think this technology will play a big part in it?
Well, I think that really remains the two big questions of server-based gaming is when will it happen and when will it matter? And, of course, IGT is working to make it happen as soon as we can. We have now in the field trials at five different casino locations trying to understand what it is that the operator wants, that the regulators want, that the player wants. Because, of course, we have to satisfy all of those constituencies. ultimately it is the player that will decide whether or not this matters.
Right.
And so I anticipate that by the end of next year, we'll be in the marketplace with a much more sophisticated capability, not only being able to manage real-time floors, mm-hmm. configuration otherwise, but also being able to bring certain applications to the player and really starting to get feedback as to whether or not we can either increase the entertainment value in a way in which they spend more or at least bring enough efficiencies gained to the casino operation that they can decrease their costs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we need to do one or both of those. We've always been revenue focused, and so that's
right.
where our energies are going to be spent. If we do all of that by the end of next year, then we anticipate that we can have full-scale, 100% deployment casino opportunities in 09.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it will be then that if we can demonstrate that there really are returns on that investment, that we would anticipate that most new casinos very much consider the technology, some number of them adopting it, and then we'll have the opportunity to circle back and start making a case to existing casinos
mm-hmm.
as to how they migrate their floors to be able to take advantage of this. It will probably be different than ticketing in that, yes, there will be some stimulated replacement, but my guess is that it will probably be done over a longer period of time than mm-hmm. was the case with ticketing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no question. Have you developed a business model for the server-based gaming, both in terms of pricing structure, marketing efforts, that kind of thing, and how you're going to go out into the market trying to sell your server-based product?
I don't know that there's been any final pricing that's in a published environment,
mm-hmm.
but of course we've been talking to customers for a while, and for the most part, things aren't going to change much from where they are today,
mm-hmm.
other than there will be a big recognition that the world has become more software-oriented as
mm-hmm.
opposed to the traditional hardware delivery of a box, and that there's a much greater importance on what systems can do to bring incremental functionality to a casino floor.
Mm-hmm.
But you will still be selling ultimately boxes and platforms that
mm-hmm.
support games. You'll still be selling games into those platforms, sometimes married on a one-to-one basis with the initial shipment,
mm-hmm.
but probably oftentimes dropped onto an existing install base, server-enabled so that you can put it across your floor
mm-hmm.
As players demand. That there will be still system sales, but again, the system sales will be bifurcated into kind of an initial networked application, all the front-end displays, and then separately the applications necessary to be actually bring
mm-hmm.
this incremental entertainment to the casino operation. There will be intellectual property issues to sort out, both amongst the competitors as well as with our customers. That's something that IGT has previously taken the lead in, and I think that we'll continue to do so. GSA and some of the standards organizations have been helpful to have the industry do a better job of talking to each other about how to address those kinds of matters. And then from there, I think once you have this networked environment, you have the idea that there are going to be some managed services that maybe can be provided to our
mm-hmm.
customers, but there's probably also some great idea that then can be incubated that doesn't exist today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, it's IGT's effort to try to figure out what is that great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I've been talking to some of the operators, there's also some other complications like, the end cap, what games are available on the end caps and things of that nature, which certainly affects the revenue that it produces. Are those things in consideration right now?
Well, they are, because if you take a look again at IGT's history as a game company, what we did first was really be aggressive at the point of sale.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point of sale, we did things like add bonus wheels
right.
and add other, physical apparatus that won't be easy to replicate in a server-based world. And so
right.
my guess is that you could have some amount of dedicated hardware and then some hardware that is more universal in nature,
mm-hmm.
That can be configured kind of on the fly. And so I just think that you'll see both of those worlds coexist. Now, that said, even if you have this dedicated hardware, you're still going to want server-based functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Things like our service window, being able to handle the player clubs, being able to offer promotions on a casino floor. So that's really, in our mind, you're going to be able to do that in an end cap to a specialized slot machine as much as you're going to be able to do it on the general floor.
Right, right, absolutely. How flexible are you with these network gaming systems? There's obviously going to be, some of the existing casinos that don't want the full-blown thing but may want a few of the elements that are in those systems. Are you developing different systems or one system with a lot of add-ons to it?
Well, the goal, of course, would be that it be as scalable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we are big believers that 100% deployment is going to be when it's most effective,
mm-hmm.
that there are going to be applications that are going to be sold individually, and so I do think that you'll have an opportunity for every casino to make their own choices about what's important and what's worth the value proposition that we have in mind. And so, you know, I anticipate that we'll be able to address smaller casinos or casinos that for some reason are constrained on budgets as much as we're able to address brand new large casinos and casinos that are kind of creating budgets around some of these technologies. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll be able to satisfy all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to talk about some of the products we saw at G2E that were so impressive. A lot of people were coming up to our booth and just saying, you got to visit the IGT booth, and then we got the tour and saw what everybody was talking about. I think the one that was probably the most impressive was the Pure Depth technology that's incorporated in the Indiana Jones slot that you offered at the show. Just incredible visuals that it looks like a real spinning machine, but obviously it can be incorporated into even video platforms. Do you envision this style of game as the workhorse of the server-based system?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mention that because we have just a wonderful group of folks that mm-hmm. are responsible for developing products. And, of course, you have all of these mainline products, and they don't get too much comment anymore. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they're really the hits of the show because those are the products that fill the casino floor day in, day out.
Right.
And so that team has done a great job. But there is a special organization within the development world called IGT Labs. Mm-hmm. And they've really been responsible for investigating new technologies and our ability to implement them into a casino environment, our existing product line. And one of those is this multi-layer display, mm-hmm. this relationship that we have with Pure Depth. And it is a pretty neat technology. Mm-hmm. You have these LCDs that are layered on top of each other so you can get true 3D mm-hmm. in both the video world, but also you have the wherewithal to simulate the physical real slots and have video bonus screens, have service windows, but still have the look and feel of a physical real slot. And so that does at least offer one solution for how you would be able to go about deploying 100% server base on a casino floor and yet have a large portion of the real estate associated with physical reels.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when people saw that, they saw a lot more in the technology and they saw that that was something that they might want floor-wide that would really allow then the ultimate configuration of being able to manage deployment of physical reel slots, video poker, video slots, anywhere in the casino, any denomination, any hold percentage, being able to provide service windows, promotions to the player. All of that can be done with this multi-layer display. So it's something that we're definitely investigating as to whether or not that should become across all product lines. For the time being, it's a specialty product line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your video products over the last few years have been pretty simple and straightforward, but they've had volatile programs, free spin bonuses, and you know, but basically there have been no frills. But this time we saw games like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, the eBay game. Does this signal a change in the company's philosophy toward video-based games?
Well, I think that it's signaling the fact that as we become more technological as an industry, that we have the wherewithal to bring players closer together mm-hmm. so that they can collaborate, compete, cooperate towards some sort of common event. It's something that I've believed in for a long time. I really do believe that the idea of our product man versus machine at times can be a little cold as compared to maybe the warmer environment of the table games where you really see people interacting. I think that people go to casino environments to some extent to be around other people. There's this natural human desire in games to demonstrate your capability as being superior.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of being able to bring people together to common events in which they are watching each other, rooting for each other against a common foe, the house, being able to at times share in each other's success, which is something that I think casino players have wanted for a long time.
Sure.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they look enviously upon others mm-hmm. When they're not. I think all of those are elements of game design that we're trying to bring in those particular kinds of games. But the overall video real slot philosophy is just that we're trying to create games that players want. And there's going to continue to be a lot of experimentation as to, you know, what those games are, whether it be extensions of the bonus scene, changes to the base games. I mean, as you know, there's really been an effort to increase line count, increase coin count, even in the case of physical real slots, increase the number of reels from mm-hmm. 3 to 5, all so that you can get more action into the game.
Right.
And so we're going to continue to investigate those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We also saw community games, the Wheel of Fortune, the version that the smaller version, it's not as large as the first one you put out. Is that something you're continuing to move on? This is a new interactive style of play with competition and things of that nature. Are you looking to completely develop new styles of slot play within a network system like that?
If you take a look at the way that players work on the floor, the best promotions that we can do are things where players in some way have contributed to a common outcome. And so things like multi-level progressives, wide area progressives, tournaments, bonusing, even what you do in the player club have all worked because of kind of the law of big numbers. Mm-hmm. And the one place where you really haven't brought that is to the games themselves. Mm-hmm. And we saw with Superspin that there was a desire for nine people to sit around a, you know, that incredibly sized right. wheel and be able to share in that same right. event. But it just takes up too much real estate mm-hmm. for a lot of operations. And so us being able to repackage into a five-player mm-hmm. Version made some sense. But if you take a look at, you know, as you mentioned, eBay mm-hmm. and Star Wars, even Indiana Jones, Ancient Chinese Secret, there is a lot of effort to try to figure out how do you bring community to the slot machine floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about guaranteed play. Ever since I heard Jay Walker speak about a year ago, you know, I was an advocate. I think it's a tremendous idea. You introduced it here in Las Vegas at the Station Casinos in some video poker product, and the results were kind of mixed at this point. Was this just a test, really, to see how it would work to begin with, and you're going to tweak it from here on in?
I think the answer to the second question first, that yes, I mean, it was a test for us to try to understand what it is that mm-hmm. players think about the product. Obviously, there's some suspicion about it. Any time that you change practices on the casino floor, I think that's the case in this instance, especially when you mess with video poker, which is, you know, a player.
It's a religion.
Exactly. And so, you know, not being able to have it server-enabled, mm-hmm. not having it across the entire floor, probably doesn't show this product in its best light. In our mind, of course, the idea that you can package the mm-hmm. casino offering
right.
with the rest of what the resort has to offer is a huge step mm-hmm. forward. It's the kinds of things that a server does enable. The idea that, you know, that the people that you're selling rooms to, that you're selling other services, whether it be dining or mm-hmm. entertainment, some of the retail environments, that those are also players in your casino, and you can now bundle all of that activity into mm-hmm. a common offering. I think long term that's going to be a very big success.
Sure.
Whether or not it extends beyond promotions and packaging into an actually preferred way of playing games, I think remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. But we're, of course, optimistic in believing that it will.
Sure. Well, the pricing paradigm, I think, that Jay discusses in his presentations is, you know, when he compares the theme parks and the way they price they bundle their rides and things of that nature along with a casino bundling action on the casino floor, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we agree. Mm-hmm. He's very convincing.
Yeah, no question. Now you also demonstrated a table game that had guaranteed play on it. Has there been any reaction to that right now? Is a blackjack game in at the show there?
I think the same kind of mm-hmm. reaction that. Was with video poker, which is there's a lot of casino customer interest to understand whether or not that would attract a different kind of player, or allow them to package their property, their offering, a bit differently than they've done in the past. And so there was a lot of customer interest mm-hmm. at that level. As you know, for at least my own personal perspective, is that interest is great to realize, but until you have it in front of a
right.
player and a player actually chooses to play in that manner, then it's just interesting.
Right,
it's not,
right.
you know, it's not compelling.
Are you more confident that guaranteed play will work on the video real slot machines rather than video poker?
Well, I would say that it already has worked on video mm-hmm. poker. The question is whether or not, you know, what kind of penetration
sure.
rates and mm-hmm. use rates, and so there's some issues as to that, and there's some issues that if you have dedicated machines as opposed to server-enabled mm-hmm. functionality, then, you know, what would be the mix versus, you know, the ability to offer that
right.
to across your entire mm-hmm. floor to the patrons that want to use it.
Right.
So I think the server aspect of it is probably more important than the game itself. But certainly the idea of being able to package slot machine play mm-hmm. where the player is really, to at least a certain player, is looking for the consumption of time mm-hmm. as a form of entertainment as opposed to being particular about the game
right.
apparatus itself. I think that's probably lends itself better to that kind of pricing.
Yeah, I mean the players certainly are less sophisticated on the video real games rather than the video poker games where they know the payoffs, they know the type of machines they enjoy, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about electronic table games. They seem to be a growing part of the market. Certainly in Europe, they're a huge part of the market. You purchased a lot of technology from table game suppliers, electronic table game suppliers. Are you going to expand the MP series and compete with the likes of ShuffleMaster in that area?
Well, I think the first thing is to kind of explain why we are in that space. In our mind, anytime you automate gameplay, which is really the functionality that exists within a gaming device where, you know, we're determining and presenting game outcomes to a player, we're processing financial transactions, doing all that in an automated fashion, that's an area that IGT wants to mm-hmm. provide for the casino operation. So as table games themselves become automated, whether just a portion of the activity or the entire activity, that naturally becomes an area of interest for IGT. Mm-hmm. As you see that we've made really two investments in the last couple of years in this space. One of them is in DigiDeal. DigiDeal mm-hmm. is a product that really automates a portion of the activity, whether it be the gameplay, in some cases the financial transaction, but for the most part there's also a human element there in mm-hmm. terms of interacting with the player. The MP series is the fully automated version of being able to replicate various table game activities so that, you know, obviously, you know, blackjack and baccarat and some of the other traditional games are of interest, but we also introduced our racing game, and we'll be looking at other technologies that can be supported on that server-based platform. The other area that's maybe getting a little less attention, just because it's not a game, but falls in the same area of automation, is our Table Touch product, mm-hmm. where we're really automating a lot of the back-end activity for tracking players, managing the accounting of the table, ultimately going to extend that forward so that you can automate player wager tracking via RFID so that you can track what happens at the table by reading the cards being dealt out of a shoe, mm-hmm. you know, so that you have a better record
right.
of what's going on at a table and a better record of what's going on with individual players mm-hmm. than you've had in the past. So all of those areas all center around the same activity, which is what part of the table game can you automate? Mm-hmm. And as you get into environments where there might be dealer shortages, which mm-hmm. certainly seems to be a possibility in a sure. place like Macau, mm-hmm. I think that automation not only then becomes something that a player might want, it really becomes something that the casino has to have mm-hmm. So that they can expand their footprint.
Yeah, no question. I saw your baccarat game at the London show last year, and then, you know, very impressive game, very entertaining. So I think that would go very well in Macau.
Thank you.
I want to talk about some of your traditional games. Let's start with the traditional stepper slots. I mean, always an IGT mainstay. Where does that fall into your product strategy right now?
Well, you know, I think there was a period of time where the marketplace was concerned that it was going to become 100% video slot. Mm-hmm. And maybe over some extended period of time, maybe we do end up there. But it would appear that the casino floors have very much stabilized around 35 to 40% physical real slots, but that those players, as particular as they are in terms of wanting that kind of delivery mechanism, still want all the entertainment value that you've seen derive in the video slot space. And so being able to increase line count, increase coin count has been very important. Being able to add secondary bonuses, being able to tie those machines into some kind of common event. So, you know, that's an area in which, because we have such large shares, still our shares mm-hmm. in excess of 80% in that space, we want to come up with ways to be able to sustain that footprint as long as possible. I think that if we do a good job of continued development there, that 35 to 40% of casino floors, particularly in resort destinations, can be dedicated to physical reels for a long time to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another area where IGT dominated has been the Mega Bucks, the wide area progressive. So how where does that figure into your company strategy now?
Well, it remains the idea that there's just going to be some game ideas that we think are attractive enough to the player that they can be deployed in a slightly different environment than would be the traditional games. Mega Jackpots has always been about that delivery mechanism. Sometimes it centers around large jackpots. Sometimes mm-hmm. it centers around unique gameplay like Wheel of Fortune. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it centers around third-party intellectual property. But it's always around the idea that we're going to make a certain game category special.
Right.
And there's a big effort at IGT to do that on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we realize that, you know, 95% of the casino floors are allocated to machines that are purchased by the casinos. Mm-hmm. And so that remains really our biggest effort in terms of the technology platforms, the number of games that we introduce on an annual basis, just kind of the basic functionality. And so, you know, what we internally refer to as product sales is really actually the largest part of our development budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I mentioned the stepper slots, the Mega Bucks, and you mentioned the Wheel of Fortune. Is there a single IGT product you see as that will be your franchise product in the near to long-term future here?
Well, I think that as you start talking about technology, you talk about delivering. Mm-hmm. And so on the game delivery side, you know, there's been a couple of instances where we can say we have a franchise product, whether it be the S Plus cabinet mm-hmm. or it be the 960 platform. We obviously believe that as we move to AVP, we move to things like the multi-layer display, that those mm-hmm. become franchise products in the future. On the system side, Easy Pay. You know, mm-hmm. there's now really the idea that you would manage coin on a casino floor is right. an outdated thought, and so Easy Pay is a franchise product. Going forward, I think on the delivery side, server-based gaming mm-hmm. is that kind of franchise in which you're going to have functionality brought to a patron that at some point people are going to look back and say, how did we never have this before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think on the game side, that's less predictable.
Yeah.
You know, I look back and I think of, you know, very important events in the industry, and there's only a few of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see Mega Bucks, and you can see right. Wheel of Fortune, and you can see Triple Play. Mm-hmm. One can maybe remark that the recent success had with products like Fort Knox and others in that MLP series mm-hmm. maybe is the latest iteration of success of games. But video slots would demonstrate, you know, how an entire category has become important, but no one single game
sure.
shines.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're constantly trying to figure out how to have a game that becomes a franchise, mm-hmm. but have, unfortunately, no ability to predict it.
Yeah. It's very difficult, and it seems that the theme games now over TV shows has faded away and things of that nature. So there's no way you can predict that. You're just going to, as I said to one of your developers at one point, do you just throw stuff up against the wall and see what sticks? And he didn't like that.
There's a certain element of that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what works.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I think what we're constantly trying to do in terms of innovating new ideas is 80% of something that we introduce in a brand new product does reflect mm-hmm. things that have worked in the past.
Right.
And maybe there's that 10 or 20% that distinguishes it from anything that's ever been introduced mm-hmm. before.
Okay. One of the products I was very impressed with at the show was this new smart card technology that incorporates a lot of the technology from ticket in, ticket out, as well as a player recognition technology. How exactly does that work?
Well, I think the big issue for us, for a patron, is that you ask them to manage a lot of physical items on behalf of their gaming exercise, be it the player card, obviously managing tickets if they go to multiple casinos and they have, you know, a lot of those.
Right.
And so we're trying to figure out ways that we can simplify the transaction. One of those would be if we could use player cards more effectively as a means for accessing cash. Mm-hmm. As you know, we have a relationship with Global Cash
right.
in which we've been trying to be able to bring ATM technology closer to the casino floor. There's a lot of regulatory issues associated with that, and so that's had slow progress. But nonetheless, interesting because the rest of society spends money via electronic right. transactions, and so those kinds of transactions will come to a casino floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the idea that if you can issue cards to patrons that also would serve as the mechanism for them tracking physical cash in the same way that tickets do, that there would be a lot of value in that. And so one of the technologies that we had at the show was a rewritable card
mm-hmm.
in which your player card or some other form of card could be loaded into a printer that would then put your balance mm-hmm. onto the card and then separately could be reinserted into a machine so that balance could be read. And that technology seemed to be extraordinarily well received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Yeah. I think it was very new. A lot of the ticket printer people though were saying that people still like the physical thing, but I guess that's what the coin people used to say before the ticket printers, right?
I think people do like a record.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that people aren't prepared necessarily to trust a balance on a screen, but of course the rewritable card mm-hmm. provides that same record that a ticket does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You purchased WagerWorks a couple of years ago, a very innovative online gaming developer. Are you preparing for a possible change in the legal status of online gaming in the U.S., or is this just focused on the international markets where this is legal at this point?
Well, I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's recognized by us that if, again, you break our business into the two components of game creation and game delivery, that those two had always been married at IGT for a casino environment, and yet gaming is now taking place in so many other environments beyond casinos, whether it be over the internet, in some markets over television and mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly want to understand that technology as well as be able to deliver our games in markets somewhere in which it's legal. And so WagerWorks firstly was just to go understand that world better,
mm-hmm.
be able to understand whether or not you can make money in the markets in which it's presently allowed. And I would say that so far on that account, you know, WagerWorks has been a success.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it becomes materially important to IGT if and when large markets authorize internet gaming or other forms of non-casino distribution of games, and that will be when WagerWorks becomes very important mm-hmm. to us.
Okay. So it's kind of like something in your arsenal right now that you can deploy when it becomes necessary.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just have one more question. We've seen the slot market making some huge strides in the last few years. IGT certainly has been keeping pace, and the four or five other big companies. But there's also a lot of smaller companies that are really coming on now. Companies like Konami and Aruze and Casino Technology and others. They're developing interesting games and systems. How does IGT plan to compete with these new upstarts here?
Well, I think that there's no monopoly on good ideas,
mm-hmm.
and so I anticipate that you will always have new entrants in the market with new ideas
mm-hmm.
about how either to deliver the product or how the products themselves might be consumed by the player. And so, you know, firstly, we pay attention to them
mm-hmm.
and determine whether or not there's reasons to collaborate or cooperate with those other partners. As you know, we've
mm-hmm.
had a very successful
Absolutely.
Model with Anchor Gaming, with Action Gaming,
mm-hmm.
of being able to broadly distribute some of the ideas that they had developed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I anticipate that will still be in our formula. But, of course, our size gives us a huge advantage
mm-hmm.
in that though certain areas of activity might be ordinary in terms of the technological know-how associated with
right.
it, video slots may be one of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the technology behind being compatible to every jurisdiction, being compatible to all the systems that people want interfaces to, being able to bring new technologies like multi-layer devices, like server-based gaming, all of that requires a huge R&D investment. And so what IGT really wants to be known as is, if we are known as the innovator, the innovative leader of this industry, then the business opportunities all will follow and we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that others have some shared success in that environment will also be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, great. In terms of the growth of the company, will you grow internally for the most part, or are you looking to possibly acquire some of these really innovative companies that develop themselves out there?
A little of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly the biggest growth is going to come from internally generated efforts
mm-hmm.
and our ability to bring new products into to our existing customers is still what we are focused on. But that said, when we have the opportunity to bring in interesting technology, interesting intellectual property, game design, not presently available to us,
mm-hmm.
Distribution reach into markets in which we don't have a large presence,
mm-hmm.
We do that.
Yeah.
And so you see over the last few years, you know, we've been in the habit of probably doing about three or so acquisitions a year, as well as a whole host of strategic alliances,
mm-hmm.
whether it be on an intellectual property side or in some other technology cooperative. And so I anticipate that that's going to be a big part of our efforts as well.
Well, TJ Matthew, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Very interesting products and services you brought out at the trade show, and congratulations on the innovative stuff you brought out there, and we hope to work with you many times in the future.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.